Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, you're good. Oh, you are good. And let all of your people say unequivocally, you are good and you are God. And so, Lord, tonight as we turn to your holy and inerrant word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would show us even further just how good you really are. And that you would draw us close, that you would hold us near, that you would allow us to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up, and that you would draw all of us unto him so that we might become more like him. Let us find sanctuary now in the presence of your Spirit as we turn to your word. Bless us, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, tonight I want to invite you to open your Bible to the book of Acts, and tonight you get a bonus message. You get a bonus message from the book of Acts because when I was mapping out how I wanted to preach through Acts on Sunday mornings in 2019, I skipped some verses that are not worth skipping. Tonight is a profound passage illustrating to us the way that God is still at work among us. How many of you have realized God is still at work in the world around us? Amen? Though it looks bleak sometimes. Though your news feed becomes depressing sometimes, God is still at work in the world around us. Acts chapter 9, if you're in the Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 918. And if you are a YouVersion user, you can tune in right now, right there on your phone and follow along. But before Jesus left, one of my favorite passages comes in John chapter 16 when Jesus is telling us that he is going to send the Holy Spirit. And I want you to hear what Jesus said. Just listen, you don't have to turn to it right now. But Jesus said to his disciples, this is before his crucifixion, he said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Well, how, Lord, could it be to our advantage for you to go away? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if Jesus was here with us right now? Walking on the earth as he was 2,000 years ago. But he says, it's to your advantage, disciples, if I go away. He said, for if I do not go away, the Helper won't come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. He went on to say that he had many things to teach us, but he couldn't get it all in right then. But the Helper would come. And who is the Helper? Well, the Helper is the Holy Spirit. And as cool as it would be to know that Jesus was on the earth right now walking in human form as he did 2,000 years ago, we have something even better. We have Jesus with us always. Literally, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells within you. And so Christ is with you always, even to the end of the age. And so though we cannot physically touch the person of Jesus Christ, we know that his Holy Spirit dwells within us and he is with us. He will never leave us. And his Spirit convicts us and guides us and comforts us and pushes us along. I had somebody call me yesterday and said, I felt an unction to call. Now that's an old word, but I bet some of you know that word, the unction of the Holy Spirit. What is that? That is this call to action from God within you saying, you must do this. So you follow the unction of the Holy Spirit. You have been so unked, as it were, I suppose. I don't know. But Jesus says to your advantage. Why? Because he's still moving today. And this is the theme I want to give you tonight. The risen Christ is still at work through his Spirit raising us. The risen Christ is still at work through his Spirit raising us. And I want to show you several ways that the risen Christ is still raising us to this day through the power of his Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, we're going to look at three different movements. The first is the healing of a man named Aeneas. So verse 32, we've been talking about Paul. Now we go back to Peter and it says, now Pete, as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. First, I want us to see that the risen Christ is still a healer. The risen Christ is still a healer. How many of you believe that God is our healer? Amen? In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, God says, I am the Lord, your healer. Those of you who've studied the various names of God, showing the attributes of God, know about the name Jehovah or Yahweh Rapha, that God is our healer. That God is the one who made us, and God, we confess, is the great physician. Though we trust great physicians like Dr. Martin, Dr. Gover, and many others, we trust Almighty God, who is our great physician and who is our healer. But I want you to look at this particular story as Aeneas is raised. What do you have here? You have a man who's paralyzed, who's been paralyzed for a long time, 8 years. When you've been paralyzed, 8 years is a long time. I know some people who've gone through some momentary paralysis, and when you've been paralyzed for 8 minutes, that's a long time. When you can't move something for 8 seconds and you're surprised by that, that's a long time. This man's been paralyzed for a long time, and Peter comes, and notice what he says. He says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. It reminds me of that time when Jesus was there at the pool of Bethesda. Remember John chapter 5? When Jesus asks what many would call the dumbest question known to man. This time there was a man who was laying by the pool of Bethesda, which was a place of healing. He'd been there for 38 years. 38 years, the Bible says, he had been invalid. He was not able to move. People had to bring him there and carry him down. And there was a legend there that an angel would come and stir the water, and the first one into the water would get healed. And this man had been in this state for 38 years. And Jesus comes up to him and he asks him this question, do you want to get well? Well, if I didn't want to get well, I mean, I'm just thinking through how I might have answered this. If I didn't want to get well, I wouldn't be here at the place of healing. If I didn't want to get well, I wouldn't be down here every day. If I didn't want to get well, I wouldn't have shown up. You know, Dr. Gover, if I didn't want to get well, I wouldn't come see you. Dr. Martin, if I didn't want to get well, I wouldn't take the medicine that you prescribe, but no, I'm at the place of healing, so what do you mean, do you want to get well? But notice how the man responds. Remember, he says, well, I don't have anybody to take me down there, and the water gets stirred, I can't get down there, somebody always gets down there first. So what do you hear there? Well, you hear an excuse, but you hear an excuse that is the fruit of despair. And what did Jesus say? This is in John 5, you can look it up later. He said, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Amazing. 38 years is a long time. I should know. I've lived only just a few months past it. It's a long time. I can't imagine having lived my entire life in one state, and in one moment, Jesus changes everything. In one moment. I couldn't walk before, but now I can. I couldn't pick up my bed before, but now I can. Because Jesus has changed me forever. This is phenomenal. And this is the same sort of power that's revealed through Peter by the power of the Holy Spirit with Aeneas. Now, I want you to notice something. People ask me all the time, do you believe God still heals today? Unequivocally, yes. We just had prayer meeting for those of you who were there. We talked about some people who were sick, and we prayed collectively, God, please heal this person. When I'm praying with somebody who comes forward here, somebody in the hospital, I ask God for a gift of healing. Do I believe that there is still a gift of healing? Absolutely. I've read 1 Corinthians 12, and alongside the gifts that are mentioned there, there's the gift of healing, and I pray that God would give that to me. Now, does that look like it typically looks on the TV preacher show where Apostle so-and-so is knocking somebody down? Absolutely and unequivocally, no. Let me tell you why. First of all, the office of apostle is closed. The gifting of apostlehood is still there, but the office of apostle is closed. There are no more. You had to have seen the risen Jesus. Paul said he is an apostle. Why? Because he experienced the risen Christ, but the office of apostle is closed. Secondly, though, and perhaps more importantly in my mind is this. When you watch those shows and people are slapping people on the head and knocking them down, who's getting the glory for that? Who healed him? Well, that preacher's awesome. No. Notice what Peter said. How did Peter say it? He said, Jesus Christ heals you. Be suspect of anybody who's trying to rob God of his glory. Be suspect of anybody who's trying to borrow glory from God. And we're all susceptible to that temptation. So don't hear me sitting in judgment over other human beings. No. I'm right there. I'm susceptible. I'm susceptible to the same sort of temptation, but you cannot rob God of his glory. He takes that very seriously. Jesus Christ heals you. And what happened? Aeneas got up. And so the risen Christ is still at work, working through his people by the power of his Holy Spirit to bring healing. I believe that there are certain people who are gifted with healing. Many of them go and get degrees, and they serve. Doctors, nurses, CNAs, people who invest in the health and well-being of the physical body. I praise God for that. Ralph Delahaye praises God for that. He has a new knee because of it. We thank God for these things. But of course, God is still moving, and we want Jesus to get the credit. So, that's the first point. Now look at verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Stop there. Second point is this. The risen Christ is still raising the dead. Now, this is a profound story. It's a profound story. This woman, this good woman, this righteous woman, this helpful woman, this godly woman has died, and so they call Peter to come. And Peter believes in the power of Almighty God to the degree that he will touch a dead body, and if you're a Jew, you don't touch a dead body. That he will go and speak to this body. But does this sound familiar to you as well? It reminds me of a story that's recounted several places, but I'm going to point you to Mark chapter 5, when a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus had a daughter who was sick, and he sent for Jesus, saying, "Please come, my daughter's sick, she's on the verge of death." And you remember, this is where, while Jesus is on the way, the woman with the issue of blood touches him, and you have this interlude as Jesus is on his way to heal one little girl. The woman who's been suffering for so many years has this powerful encounter with Jesus, thinking, maybe if I can just touch the hem of his garment, maybe, just maybe, power will come and make me whole. And it does, and it's powerful, this faith of this woman. But while Jesus is having this exchange, the little girl dies. So he's on his way to heal the little girl, but the people from Jairus' household come and say, don't bother the teacher anymore. It's too late. It's over. It's over. They've called it. They're filling out the death certificate now. Don't bother the teacher. He's got other things to do. Just come home and grieve. But what does Jesus say? Well, this is from Mark chapter 5, verse 36 and following. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside. Does that sound familiar? And took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in to where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement, and he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. So here's this scene in which this little girl of 12 years of age has died, and Jesus goes in, taking the father, the mother, Peter, James, and John, the ones that got to see these things up close. And what does he say to her? "Talitha, arise." Now go back to Acts chapter 9. Peter goes into the room, kicks everybody out. They ridicule him. And what does he say? Tabitha, arise. Does that sound familiar? See, I have a hunch that God's doing this on purpose. I have a hunch that the reason these stories sound familiar to stories of Jesus interacting with people is because Jesus is showing us through his Holy Spirit and through his servant who is filled with his Holy Spirit and functioning in the capacity of his Holy Spirit that he's still at work in the world and he's still doing the same sorts of things. You say, well, you mean to tell me Jesus is still raising the dead? Oh, much more powerfully than this. Much more powerfully than this, because here's the thing about the little girl who was 12 years old and died and was raised to life. You know what happened to her? She died again. Here's the thing about Tabitha, this wonderful, righteous woman, this wonderful woman who was so godly and so good to the people who were around her. Do you know what happened to Tabitha after she died and was raised again? She died again. See, that the physical body is mortal. So though the power of God was illustrated in their bodies died again, but there is a greater resurrection that happens for those of us who give our lives to Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, when he died, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who lives and believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And if anyone lives and believes in me, he shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha said, well, I know you're the Messiah, and when the Messiah comes, you know, we know the resurrection's coming, and one day I'll see him again. He said, no, I am the resurrection, Martha. It's me. So what happens when a human being who is separated from God and dead in sin comes to Christ is a powerful spiritual resurrection. Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, notice that word dead, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? That if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you were formerly dead in your sin and trespasses. You are a dead person walking, separated from God, without hope, without God in the world. But if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, he has risen you from that state of spiritual death, and he has made you alive. And so, you say, well, wait a minute, why do we still have funerals then? Here's why. Because mortal is not immortal. Perishable is not imperishable. Yet. Yet. So, Friday morning. Friday morning, we will celebrate the life of Miss Mary Curd Logan. She was our oldest member, 104 years of age. That was her goal, by the way. She wanted to get to 104. And her nephew said when she got to 104, she was happy and she was done. And so on Friday, we will gather as a community of faith and we will remember her life. We will memorialize her life. But Miss Mary won't be there. Her spirit has gone on to be with heaven, gone on to be in heaven with Jesus. She is with her Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so Miss Mary is going to be busy Friday morning. I don't know exactly what she's doing, but it's glorious, whatever it is. And the glory that she's experiencing far surpasses any pain she's ever dealt with. And in 104 years of life, she dealt with some pain. Listen, she was born when World War I was still going. She lived through World War II, and I can't imagine living through World War II without thinking the end has come. She lived through Korea. She lived through Vietnam. She lived through Desert Shield that became Desert Storm. She lived through the Iraq War. She was alive on that day that would live in infamy, December 7, 1941, with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And she was alive on September the 11th, 2001. She has seen pure evil personified against other human beings. She has seen horrible things happen. She has endured a Great Depression. And she has dealt with the loss of people who were so dear to her through more than a century of life. And now, Now, any bit of suffering she ever experienced is over, and the glory she is now experiencing far surpasses any struggle she ever faced. And one day, that's what we misunderstand this about heaven. Where she is right now and where we will go unless Christ returns is called the intermediate state. We go in spiritual form to be with the Lord. We're a part of that great cloud of witnesses. But when Christ returns, our physical bodies will be raised so that that which is mortal now will become immortal. That which is perishable now will become imperishable. And we will live and reign with Christ in a new heavens and on a new earth, with a body that is impervious to disease. And so that's what's going to happen if you are in Christ. Your spirit will flee to be with the Lord, but when Christ returns, you're coming back, and your body will be raised, and you will be like your Lord with a resurrection body. You say, what's that like? I don't know. We have a clue with Jesus. We know he ate food, we know he drank water, and we know he could walk through locked doors. So whatever that is, that's what we have. But in that eternal glorious state, we won't need to lock doors anymore because there won't be any sin. Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine? I love it when people say, well, I think people are good. I said, great. Leave your car unlocked on the street with the keys in the ignition and the door open tonight if you really believe that. Nobody's taken me up on it yet. And I don't know if the new heaven and the new earth will have cars, but if it does, we can do that because there will be no sin whatsoever. It'll be perfect. It'll be glorious. It'll be wonderful. So what I'm telling you is this. Physical resurrection is phenomenal. And God uses this to illustrate the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's people. But there's a greater resurrection. The spiritual resurrection, as a sinner becomes a saint, as one who is apart from God, comes to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. And they are brought from spiritual death into spiritual life and life forevermore. I don't know if it was, I think it was Henry Hardin Cherry who said, life, more life. Life, more life. Well, Western uses that as a motto. We live that as a reality. That's our estate in Jesus Christ. It's phenomenal. So, the risen Christ is still raising the dead, but I got to give you one more verse, verse 43. And this is going to seem so mundane and irrelevant, but it's not. And he, Peter, stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Number three is this: the risen Christ is still a barrier breaker. A barrier breaker. Simon was a tanner. Do you know what you have to do to be a tanner? You have to interact with dead things all the time. If you're a good Jew, you can't touch dead things. That makes you ceremonially unclean. And so Simon's vocation made him constantly ceremonially unclean. Now, we're over at the coast. We're far away from Jerusalem, so that's not as big of a deal as if you live in Jerusalem around the temple. But it's still a big deal. And it's a really big deal if you're Peter. Now, I hope you'll come back on Sunday and bring some friends with you, because the story that you're going to see in the book of Acts on Sunday will blow your hair back. I mean, it is just incredible. But this is foreshadowing. This is a hint toward what God's about to do in the life of Peter. He's put him at the house of Simon the Tanner, this one who is remarkably ceremonially unclean. Al Mohler said, by lodging with him, Peter demonstrated to the church that they were no longer under the purity laws of the Old Testament and that Gentiles had full inclusion in the kingdom of God. It kind of reminds me of a tax collector named Matt who got saved. And what happened? He threw a party for Jesus, because that's what you do. And all the religious people got real mad about it because he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. And how does Jesus respond? Well, he says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And so here's our question tonight. My son's favorite song is stuck in my head with this sermon. I can't help it. Right now, we went to the Gaithers. Was anybody there? We were on the second row. Amen. It was phenomenal. I have now an 11-year-old son who's the biggest Gaithers fan on the planet. He had never heard of them before, and now he knows their names. I don't even know their names except for Bill because they change all the time. But on one of the CDs that we bought, there's a song that was written by a guy named Zach Williams, who's not one of the Gaithers, and it's called Chainbreaker. I'm not going to sing it, but it goes like this. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. So if you have chains or if you have pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. He was a chain breaker when he was on this earth. Then he died on a cross, rose from a grave, ascended unto heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit with power at Pentecost. And he's still a chain breaker today. He's still a healer today. He's still a resurrector today. He makes all things new today. He's still working today. Have you experienced his goodness? Do you experience it now? Are you willing to be a conduit through which he can work to be a blessing to others? Because the same promise that he made to Abraham, he's passed on to you. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And so you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, are called to be a conduit through which the Spirit of God moves and blesses other people. Other people's day ought to be better because you're around and Jesus is in you. Same's true for me. There's a whole lot of people who are chasing a whole lot of things to make it better. And you know as well as I do, none of it's working. Oh, it might seem like it's doing okay for a minute, but it's not working. And the reason you and I know that is because we tried it. It didn't work. But in Jesus Christ, who is still raising us today, who is still raising us by healing us, who is still raising us by bringing us from spiritual death into spiritual life, who is still raising us by breaking down barriers, there's a better life. That's a better life. And so for a moment as John plays, I just want to invite you to thank God. I'm going to thank him too, because there's a better life. Let's pray. Lord, it's hard for us to believe that it was to our advantage that you went away. But you're wiser than we are. And you knew that if you didn't go away, the Helper wouldn't come. But that if you went, you would send him to us, and you have. And he's here. He's here. Thank you that he guides us. Thank you that he speaks on your authority. He tells us your truth, that he declares to us the things that are to come, that he glorifies you. And so, Lord, we pray that we also would glorify you. Help us to dwell in the power of your Holy Spirit, to function in the power of your Holy Spirit, to move in the power of your Holy Spirit, and to declare to all people that there is a God who is still very much active in the world today. Healing, raising, breaking down, and bringing together. And so, Lord, let us stand firmly on the foundation of faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And as we prepare to go out into the world that needs to hear this message, we join our voices together with those same words that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, and in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you.